It's a good day. Anytime you baptize, it's a good day. People coming to faith in Christ is a wonderful thing. The greatest decision anybody ever makes is what they'll do with Christ. And that's awesome. And we've probably baptized more people this year than we have in several years. And I don't look for it to get any different. People come into faith in Christ. Wow. We're in week 3 of our series called Root Cause. And we're kind of excited about this series because it just kind of describes how the kingdom of God works. You know, one of the early laws of the kingdom is the law of seed time and harvest. And God implemented that not only for the physical earth, but also for the spiritual nature. You know, everything emanates out of the spiritual into the natural. It's not the natural first, it's the spiritual first. And the law of seed time and harvest is a basic kingdom principle. And it's simple, but it's something that we need to talk about quite often. Because sometimes we forget that the choices that we make in life determine our course of life. And so it's very, very important what we choose in life. The greatest gift that God gave man, other than Jesus Christ, was the power to choose. God, in His wisdom, gave us the power to choose. And you can make choices. Now, you can choose, you can make your choices, but you don't choose your consequences. But if we learn to make right choices, plant right seed in our hearts, then guess what's going to happen? The natural outflow of that will be good things. Good root, good fruit. Bad fruit, bad root, bad fruit. No root, no fruit. So it's a basic kingdom principle. We begin this in John, the 15th chapter, where Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me and my word abides in you," guess what? "You'll ask what you will and it shall be done unto you." He says, without me you can bear no fruit. So the key to understanding all of this is basically our relationship with Christ. Now, we produce fruit. Everybody produces fruit. You produce good fruit, or bad fruit, good fruit. You produce some kind of fruit in your life. But he said that the key to producing the right kind of fruit has to do with your relationship with Him, your ongoing relationship with Him. And that's so important, that as we abide in Him and His Word abides in us, then the result of that is going to be good fruit. Good fruit does what? It brings glory to the Heavenly Father. And God is happy. God is happy when we glorify Him by bringing forth good fruit. Why? Because people see that fruit and it turns them towards God. Your life, the way that you live your life, should be pointing people towards Jesus Christ. You can point them toward or you can point them away by the fruit that's in your life. So the next week we talked about bitter fruit. About bitter fruit. And we talked about the Eve's sin, how that Satan came in and deceived her and planted a bitter root in her life and basically told her, you know, God's holding out on you. And the root of bitterness in many people's hearts is a root of bitterness towards God. They think somehow that God has not been fair with them, that God has held back from them, that God has taken something from them. And if you're not careful, you will allow anger in your heart towards God, and it will produce a root of bitterness. And I heard it said that most atheists at one time were believers, but disappointment came in. They couldn't answer certain questions. How many of you know we don't have answers to all questions? We just don't. And that's why we have to have faith. But they allow certain questions or certain experiences that they've had in life create a bitter root in their heart, and it estranges them from God. Or we have been hurt by people. I mean, you know, people hurt. Hurting people hurt people. And sometimes a root of bitterness springs up in our heart because of relationships gone bad or other things that maybe someone did something to you about your character or something along those lines, and you become offended, or you borrowed an offense from somebody else, and you allowed a root of bitterness in your heart. And that springs up and that brings forth. See, bad fruit, bad roots bring forth bad fruit. So what we want to learn how to do is we want to learn how to have the right kind of roots in our heart. The Bible tells us to be rooted and grounded in Christ. That's where we need to be. And it begins with a relationship with God. You will never produce anything in your life of eternal value until you have a living relationship with Jesus Christ. You just will not. You may be a good person. You may bring forth some good fruit, but it'll be temporary. We're looking for the fruit that remains. We're looking for the kind of fruit that keeps on giving, keeps on producing. Okay, that's what we're looking for. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about better fruit. We talked about bitter fruit. Today we want to talk about better fruit. Okay. So we're going to give you three things today. In order to bear good fruit, we have to, first of all, take root. And we must do something. We got to do three things in order to bring forth the right kind of fruit. We have to plant, we have to water, and it has to be fertilized. Say that with me. Plant, water, fertilize. We're going to look at those. So I want to read to you a verse in Psalms 92. And I want you to ask yourself this question. And just be honest with yourself. And say, here's the question. What areas of my life has bad roots? Did you know believers can have Christ in their heart, but there's some areas of their lives that they're still producing some bad fruit? Maybe it's financial struggles. Maybe it's with relationships. It could be so many different things in our lives. So we need to ask ourselves, what in my life keeps producing problems for me? There's something that just keeps reoccurring in my life. And you know, it may be financial. Like I said, it could be relationships. You don't have healthy relationships. There are just so many. And so you ask yourself that question. So what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to learn how to uproot the bad fruit and the root, and plant a good seed that's going to produce a good root in us that will continue to produce eternal fruit in our lives. So in Psalms 92, and I love this verse. Psalms, being a preacher, I would love this verse. Psalms 92, 13 and 14. Those who are planted, say planted. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Now, how long should we be able to produce fruit? Even in old age. You know, one thing I see in a lot of Christians, a lot of old Christians, and that's not necessarily old in number of years like some of us, you know. But you may have been a Christian for 10 years. But if you're not careful, you'll find yourself coming to a place that you're no longer producing fruit because you have stagnated. You've allowed certain things in your life. You become comfortable with the status quo. God doesn't want us to be happy with the status quo. This says that they who are planted. You know what the idea with planted is? That first of all, it produces roots. We need deep roots. You can't do that. jumping from place to place to place to place to place. You need to be planted. Planted. Planted in the house of God. It says they shall flourish in the courts of our God. See, there's an interaction that takes place as we're planted in the house of God. You know what you do? You make friends. You make friends. You experience God together as a church family. And that's so important. You make connections. You do things together. You know, God did not make us to be loners. We're not called to be loners. We are called to have people in our lives. And you're going to have people in your lives. The question is, what kind of people are you going to have in your life? See, and you need to be a part of a thriving house of God, a church. Now, when you're saved, you're baptized into the church. And a lot of people say, well, you know, I'm a member of Christ Church. But are you planted in a local house? Are you planted in a place where you can flourish? It says those who are planted, what they'll do? They'll grow deep roots. Deep roots. You know a neat thing? A neat thing? I've been in the ministry for since 1978. I've had a church since 1978, and I've had this one since 1981. A long time. And I've had the privilege to see certain things. See, I've had the privilege to see young families that bring their kids along. And the families are planted in the house of God. And they plant their kids in the house of God. And their kids grow up in the house of God. And there's something miraculous. And it's not really miraculous that happens as the parents get deep roots. You look at the kids and they start following suit. See, your children are going to do what you do. You are the greatest influence on your children. Your children are going to watch you. It's kind of monkey see, monkey do. I called your kids monkeys, didn't I? It's monkey see, monkey do. They're going to imitate you. They're going to love what you love. You know why my kids and my grandkids love the Razorbacks? My dad taught me to love the Razorbacks. We took our kids to Razorback game. We had one rebellious one a little while, but he finally come around. So they're Razorback fans, and you know our grandkids start coming along, and we got some videos of when they were little. They whoop. I forgot how they said it. Pig chewy. You know, it started off. What is it? You expose them to certain things. What if that is the house of God? What if that is a love for the house of God? Because it produces roots. Deep roots will produce solid fruit. Shallow roots, it's not going to produce the best kind of fruit. See, we're after fruitfulness. I want to see from generation to generation to generation, kids who love God more than their parents do. That serve God more than their parents do. Now, are kids going to be challenged? Yes. They're going to be challenged. Are they going to fall short? Yes. But you know what? Kids who are never taught anything, kids that don't have any kind of roots, they don't have anything to come back to. But children, even if they stray and have been taught right, they know where to go when they get in trouble. There's kids out there that don't have a chance. Now they have a chance, but they don't have a good chance. You know why? Because their parents never instilled anything in them. They did not have a love for the house of God. They did not have a love for the things of God, and they did not instill that in their children. See, it's very, very important that we become established in the house of God. Not only for ourselves, but also for our families. And this last part again, they shall bear fruit in old age, and they shall be fresh and flourishing. If I live to be 100 years old, I still want to be fruitful. Amen? Don't you? I may not do this forever, but I want to be doing something for the kingdom that'll be producing fruit on the day that I go to be with the Lord. Amen. Good verse of scripture. I like that one. So, first of all, better roots must be planted. Better roots must be planted. They must be planted on purpose. It's not a casual thing. It's a passionate thing. The second thing is better roots must be watered. See, we have to hear and learn and meditate on God's Word. That's how you water the roots. That's how you do it. You got to hear the Word of God. And you got to hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it. And you got to learn it. And you got to meditate on it. It's not just something that you do when you come to church. It's something that you do when you go home. And you think about it, laying in your bed at night, you're thinking about certain, you're thinking about the Word of God. You're thinking about, okay, Lord, show me how I can live my life in a way, in my purpose that you've called me to do. You think about it, you're purposeful in your life. And you have a consistent thing. That's why we have you in your Bibles reading this year and last year. That's why we will do it again next year, because we need you in your Bibles. You need to be hearing, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You don't just need to hear it on Sunday morning. You need to be having a constant input in hearing, learning, and meditating on the Word of God. Jeremiah chapter 17. It says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit." Listen, we can be fruitful even in the hard times. How many of you know that we have hard times in our lives? There are things that happen. There are things that happen in the economy. There are things that happen in families. There's just all kinds of things. You live in a fallen world. You're going to encounter fallen people. You're going to have to deal with life. And it's not always easy. But listen, you can bear fruit in the hard times too. You may have had a financial setback. Maybe you lost a loved one. Many of us have lost loved ones in the last year. Listen, you can be fruitful even in those times. Amen. I love Psalms 1. It talks about the blessed man. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." See, this describes a lifestyle of being planted, and what you do while you're planted that causes your roots to grow. It says, "He shall be like a tree that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." I love that verse. Good verse. But it talks about this lifestyle of being planted and what we do to continuously water the Word. See, I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I don't care how many Bible verses you can quote. You still have to water the seed that's in your heart. You have to do that. And you do it by hearing, learning, and meditating on the Word of God. And then you follow that by learning how to be a doer of the work of the things of God. Now, the last thing has to do with fertilizing. Now, I want to read a verse, and then we're going to read a story that has to do. It's in 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 30. We're going to look at a story about Hezekiah. And here's the verse. This is a good verse, too. And it says, "The remnant who have escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. Now notice what it says there. That he has to do what? He takes root downward and then he bears fruit upward. See, the root time is important. The root time is important. The time that it takes to establish the roots. The roots grow downward so that the fruit can grow upward. Okay, there's a story, and this is going to take a few minutes to read this. It's found in 2 Kings 18. And I'm going to read this from the Message Bible, and let's do this real quick. In the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, attacked all the outlying fortress cities of Judah and captured them. King Hezekiah sent a message to the king of Assyria at his headquarters in Lachish. "I've done wrong, I admit it. Pull back your army. I'll pay you whatever tribute you set." The king of Assyria demanded tribute from Hezekiah, king of Judah. 11 tons of silver and a ton of gold. Now, in today's market, that would be close to $50 million. That's just not pocket change, is it? That's quite a lot of money. And Hezekiah turned over all the silver he could find in the temple of God and in the palace treasuries. Hezekiah even took down the doors of the temple of God and the doorposts that he had overlaid with gold and gave them to King Hezekiah. That's probably not a good move. You know what he did? He robbed God. He robbed God to pay a tribute to a heathen king. He didn't do it right. We'll see this in a sec. So the king of Assyria sent his top three military chiefs, the Tartan, Rabsaris, and Rabshaketh, from Lachish with a strong military force to King Hezekiah in Jerusalem. You know, I'm glad today that we've learned how to name our kids good names. Holy moly. Can you imagine calling 20 kids, you know, to supper, calling each of them by those crazy names? Okay, anyway. When they arrived at Jerusalem, they stopped at the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the laundry of commons. They called loudly for the king, Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, who was in charge of the palace, Shebna, the royal secretary, and Joah, son of Asaph, the court historian, went out to meet them. The third officer, the Rabshaketh, was the spokesman. He said, "Tell Hezekiah a message from the great king, the king of Syria. You're living in a world of make-believe, of pious fantasy. You do think that mere words are any substitute for military strategy and troops." So he's threatening him. "Now that you've revolted against me, who can you expect to help you? You thought Egypt would, but Egypt's nothing but a paper tiger. One puff of wind and she collapses. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is nothing but bluff and bluster. Or are you going to tell me we rely on God? But Hezekiah has just eliminated most of the people's access to God by getting rid of all of the local God shrines, ordering everyone in Judah and Jerusalem, you must worship at the Jerusalem altar only." I mean, he is mocking them. He is challenging them, just like the enemy does against us sometimes when we're going through stuff. See, dealing with, how do we say this politely? What is fertilizer? Poop? Manure? Do we ever have to deal with manure in our lives? Let me just say this. How you deal with the manure will determine how you grow in the Word. How you deal with the attacks of the enemy, with the accusations of the enemy, with the things that come at you in life, how you deal with those will determine your root system. See, a lot of people, when they're attacked by the enemy, they crumble and they fall and they back away and they compromise. But what do we do when bad things come at us? Now, God doesn't send bad things on us. That just happens because we live in this world. One of these days, we're going to live in a world where we're not going to have to deal with the manure of life. Okay? I know this is crude, but you need to think about this. There's not going to be any death. There's not going to be any dying. There's not going to be any tests and trials. There's not going to be sickness and disease, that things that the enemy throws at us. You're not going to have to deal with dumb people. You're not going to have to deal with malicious people. But we do here in this world. And yes, it does matter what you do, how you handle the manure. You either get it all over you, or it becomes the fertilizer that helps you overcome. How you apply the Word of God in the hard times will determine the quality of fruit that you're able to produce in your life. And here this Sennacherib king is just berating the king of Judah, Hezekiah. He's intimidating him. So be reasonable. Make a deal with my master, the king of Assyria. I'll give you 2,000 horses if you think you can provide riders for them. You can't do it. Well then, how do you think you're going to turn back even one raw buck private from my master's troops? How long are you going to hold on to that figment of your imagination, those hoped-for Egyptian chariots and horses? Do you think that I've come up here to destroy this country without the express approval of God? Wow, listen, he's talking for God now. The fact is that God expressly ordered me attack and destroy this country. We know better than that. Remember the promise that Abram had? I'll bless those that bless you and I'll curse those that curse you. Israel has a covenant with God. We don't ever need to forget. Israel has a covenant with God. So they take this message back to Hezekiah, and he calls for Isaiah, the prophet. And Isaiah comes and he brings an answer. He seeks God. In 2 Kings 19, 6 and 7, Isaiah answered them, "Tell your master," he said, here's what you tell him. "Tell your master, tell Sennacherib God's word. Don't be at all concerned about what you've heard from the king of Assyria's bootlicking errand boys, those outrageous blasphemies. Here's what I'm going to do. Afflict him with self-doubt. He's going to hear a rumor and frightened for his life, retreat to his own country. Once there, I will see to it that he gets killed." Interesting. 2 Kings 19:20. "It wasn't long before Isaiah, son of Amos, sent the word to Hezekiah. God's word, you've prayed to me regarding Sennacherib, king of Assyria. I've heard your prayer. This is my response to him. The virgin daughter of Zion holds you in utter contempt. Daughter Jerusalem thinks you're nothing but scum. Who do you think it is you've insulted? Who do you think you've been bad-mouthing? Before whom do you suppose you've been strutting? The Holy One of Israel." That's who. "Did it never occur to you that I'm behind all of this? Long, long ago I drew up the plans, and now I've gone into action, using you only as a doomsday weapon, reducing proud cities to piles of rubble, leaving their people dispirited, slumped shoulders, limp souls, useless as weeds, fragile as grass, insubstantial as wind-blown chaff. I know when you sit down, when you come, and when you go. And yes, I've marked every one of your temper tantrums against me. It's because of your temper, your blasphemous foul temper, that I'm putting a hook in your nose and my bit in your mouth and turning you back from whence you came. And this Hezekiah will be for you the confirming sign. This year you'll be eating the gleanings. Next year, whatever you can beg, borrow, and steal. But the third year, you will sow and harvest, plant vineyards, eat grapes." Here's the verse that we read a while ago. "A remnant of the family of Judah yet again will sink down roots and rise up fruit." The remnant will come from Jerusalem. The survivors from Mount Zion. The zeal of God will make it happen. To sum up, this is what God says regarding to the kings of Assyria. He won't enter the city, nor shoot so much as a single arrow. He won't brandish a shield, won't even begin to set siege. He'll go home by the same road he came. He won't enter this city. God's word, I'll shield this city. I'll save this city for my sake and for David's sake. And so it happened that the very night that the angel of God came and massacred 185,000 Assyrians. When the people of Jerusalem got up the next morning, there it was, a whole camp of corpse. Sennacherib, king of Assyria, got up there fast. Let's read that again. Sennacherib, king of Israel, got out of there fast, headed straight home for Nineveh, and stayed put. One day when he was worshiping in the temple of his god Nisroch, his sons murdered him and then escaped to the land of Ararat. His other son became the next king. See, the enemy is always there to make an accusation, to make an attack against you. It's how you deal with it. See, if you've heard the word of God, if you've planted the word of God in your heart, and you've meditated the word of God in your heart, when that stuff comes at you, all it will be is the fertilizer for you to grow and become more fruitful in your life. See, we have to pull those old bitter roots out of us so that the good roots can bring forth the fruit that we need in our lives. Here's our takeaway for today. Well, let's go this way. I hate it when my notes mess up on me. First of all, we have to plant ourselves in the house of the Lord by getting connected. Not just coming, getting connected. How can we get connected? We get involved in groups. We get involved in stuff. We volunteer. We do the things. We become the family that we say that we're trying to be. Number two, we study the Word of God, especially in the areas in which we struggle. Number three, we pray through the difficult times in life, knowing that the Lord will defend us. I love the verse of Scripture that says, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." God didn't raise you up for you to be defeated. He raised you up to perform His purposes in you. So here's the next one, and the last one. Repenting and pulling out the bad roots in our lives is a necessary thing. How do we pull out the bad roots? We repent. We turn from. We turn to. Does it happen overnight? No, it's a process. It's an ongoing process. But as we're planted in the house of God, you know what happens as we do this? The Holy Spirit speaks to us when we hear the word. The Holy Spirit will speak things to your heart so that you can correct them. He does not do it to condemn you. Now, I'm not into legalism. But one thing I am into is to hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit as He brings correction to us. Amen? We need correction in our lives. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You today. And we love You today that You've made a way that we can have good fruit in our lives by being connected to You. By being connected to You through a relationship. You're the vine, we're the branch. You're the root, we're in relationship with You. And Holy Spirit, we know that it's Your job to show us the areas of our life that are bad fruit. Not to condemn us, but so that we can deal with those things that we might bring forth the fruit of righteousness. We love You. We praise You in Jesus' name. You know, I don't know where you are spiritually today. But I just want to give you a challenge.